So turn with me to Colossians. We're going to continue our study of doctrine that was starting to permeate. So, but when we left off, we got into the part of talking about circumcision, right? And we talked about what circumcision. We went all the way back into the days of Abraham, right? Because we know that that's when God established His covenant with Abraham when He came. The last time that we met, that there's sometimes in the Bible that God will do things, and it would take a while before we know what God was actually truly, what the purpose was of what God is doing. And that's one of circumcision is one of those type of things. Is that yes, we know that there were some health benefits from circumcising the male at the eighth day. But their purpose was that circumcision only it showed that they were in covenant with God, but it wasn't such it wasn't focused on the physical aspect of circumcision. Like, you know, that hey, you know, I'm with God and that's all I need to do. You know, I'm circumcised, all right, I'm good, I'm good to go. But no, circumcision, the whole purpose of it was there for them to say, okay, since I'm circumcised, since I am a child of the one God, that my behavior, the way that I go about battling sin and things of the world, it should reflect that, right? That was the whole purpose of this during Abraham's day, but it went into the children of Israel and all throughout that age. Also, in our Christian age, right, is that we also are circumcised, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, and I'm scanning the room now, and each and every one of us in this room right now, ask yourself, and those who are outside these walls, they probably don't understand this, right? How are we circumcised then? Well, Paul tells us in chapter 11 and in chapter 12, right, that the circumcision that we have is made without hands. It's a spiritual circumcision, right? And that when God cuts away, so we have to find out where this happened, because I want to get the circumcision. Where does it happen? Well, Paul tells us in verse number 12 that it happens in baptism, right? That when somebody is baptized, that indeed they are being spiritually circumcised. Now, a lot of people will say that when they talk about the Church of Christ and what, because in verse number 12, right, it says that the operation of faith is of God, that the operation is done, work is done by God, not us. Right? Our faith just leads us to obedience. God does all the work. Right? God did all the work. So we see that in a parallel verse to chapter 12, and if you ever get a chance to read, please just do chapter 6. Read the entire chapter, to be honest with you. Because it shows man's relationship with sin and their battle with sin. Right? And Rhoda read that chapter, even if you have read it, I'll read it again and take your time reading it. Because it is very powerful when it shows man's relationship with sin and how that once you are buried and risen up, right, how we ought to act when it comes to sin. Right? And that sin has what? Because of what happened in baptism. What happens in baptism? Well, the circumcision happens. It's spiritual circumcision. Alright, so that's where we left off at. And we're going to pick up on verse number 13. Now, in verse number 13, it says, and you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision together with them, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now there's a couple things that we're going to bring out here. But the first thing I want to highlight is that we know that Paul is talking to a predominantly Gentile congregation. How do you know this? Because beginning part of that verse, it says the uncircumcision of your flesh. Some people that were uncircumcised in that day were Gentiles, right? So we know that he was not talking to Jews, right? He was talking to Jews. What I want to highlight, right, is being dead in your trespasses and sins. Now, you know, those who probably probably remember this movie, it was called Dawn of the Dead, right? And, you know, they have kind of these movies, like the TV shows, one of my favorite ones, I always say it. About zombies, right? And people that are actually been walking around, but they're dead, right? That is going on in those type of movies. Well, that's what kind of is happening in the world today. Why? How? Because this verse tells us that you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh have been quickened together with them, having forgiven you all in trespasses. So what Paul is saying here, right, is that those who have not been baptized, who have not taken on that spiritual circumcision, are still dead. Those who don't believe baptism is for the remission of sin are still spiritually dead. Still walking around. Zombies. Right? You know, one of my, you know, favorite movies, and, you know, and this movie came out about 21 years ago. What this movie was about, it was about this kid that was having all kinds of issues. This little boy. He was having all kinds of issues, acting up, just acting crazy. And Bruce Willis was his psychologist, right? And mom took it to him, and he finally fessed it up and said, I see dead people. And the thing is that they walk around and they don't even know that they're dead. In the movie, it comes to find out that Bruce Willis, the psychiatrist, the only reason that the boy can see him is because many people out in the world today, right, that's walking around that don't even know that they're spiritually dead. Walking around thinking that they're alive. Just like Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis thought he was alive, right? But we see that we have so many people in the religious world out here today. Some of our friends and family members. Some of our co-workers. Some of us could be people that you've been knowing for all of your life. Spiritually walking around, but they're spiritually dead. So we see that when it comes to God, that in baptism is where he makes us alive. He quickens us. He makes us alive in his eyesight. We couldn't do that. It's all because of the blood of Christ. That's how. That is what Paul is getting at here. Right? Is that it's all because of what Christ has done. That if we obey and get into the watery grave of baptism, that we become alive in the eyesight of God. And the beautiful thing is that it has nothing to do with us. It's all about what Christ did on the cross. And it's a beautiful thing because, like myself, I did some crazy things that I'm totally ashamed of these things. That's the message, right? Is that we see that Paul, when he talks about circumcision, right, that the circumcision is done without hands, and that is the spiritual circumcision, and the main purpose of it is to cut away sin and make us alive in the eyesight. Walking around as zombies, right? We're not walking around as zombies. It's like it turns somebody that's a zombie into a live being. Listen, it's the gospel. So those that you know that are spiritually dead, you have the antidote to turn them. It's the gospel. So let's go ahead and continue. What if I have any questions or comments? Let's go to verse number 14. All right, verse number 14, it says, blotting out the handwritings of ordinances that was against us, which were contrary to us, and to all of Moses, right? The law. Right, the law. Anybody tell me what was the purpose of the law? Brother Mitch, what was the purpose of the law? But this is very important because, and we're going to get to it in a moment, because Paul is going to tell you about the dangers of what happens when people, how many should they do that, right? But why? What was the purpose of the law? All right, brother, you can like a little kid, like me. Yeah, brother.
The law was to control mankind.
Go with me, that's right, sister. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Awesome. Good job, Brother Joe. Paul shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be. Paul was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But Allah was to take the kids to school, right? Paul was to take those Jews during that time to Christ. We have to understand what was going on. Moses came down with the law. What did it show? What it showed was that God was holy. It showed them who he was. And one thing about law is that law cannot save you. Only thing law can do is when you broke it, right? Or where you passed it. If I was out here speeding on the road, you're not looking real pretty, and it tells you how ugly. Tell them I did. Right? It showed them that they were not holy. Because think about that. Think about it. If you think about what was going on during the time. If God was to just bring them out of Egypt and gave them Christ, they would have never understood who God was. They would have never appreciated. Right? Never appreciated. So God had to give them the law. Right? And we got to think that we're talking about a sick one of them. And the problem they had is that they could not keep. But it did its purpose, right? It showed and it took them to where they needed to be, and that was Jesus Christ. That the law, right? The law was in effect for about 1,500 years. What was going on here in Colossae? Go back with me to Colossians chapter 3. Because what we have is going on is what Paul is saying. It's saying that it's been blotted out, right? That the law, which was contrary to us, meaning that it did not save us. It could not show how dirty and sinful we were. That's what it does. It just revealed how sinful we were, right? It showed our need for Christ. That's all it does. It humbled us. That's what Paul was supposed to do. If you ever read the book of Romans, we know that in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, Paul tells us that it's the gospel, right? The power of the gospel, right, that saves man and makes man righteous. But if you continue reading that chapter, he gives us the Gentiles, they were in sin. That you need Christ's gospel. In chapter 2, he turns to the Jews and he tells them, you're in sin. You're in need of Christ's gospel. In chapter 3, in verse number 23, all that sin and fall short of the glory of God. So what Paul is doing is that he's showing, hey, the gospel did its job. It's showing you're in sin, and it's showing you're in sin. And how do you get out of sin? How do you are righteous in the eyesight of God? It's through Christ Jesus. Verse number 14, chapter 2, verse number 14, we see what happened to the law. And Paul here is pretty vivid, you know, when he says it was actually nailed to the cross. You think about that. He's using language that's physically nailed to the cross. So was the law of Moses. So we know what the purpose of the law is. Because if you broke the law, if not, you're going to be lost. You wouldn't understand what the writers or whoever's writing is talking about. We have to understand. What about us today? Are we under the law? No. It was a schoolmaster, like my sister said. It was a school. We see that when it comes to the law, right, that the law was nailed to the cross. Now, that brings up, especially in the book of Galatians, is that we know that the Jews were doing the same thing, trying to get people to be circumcised. Right? Bringing back, this is what was going on in Colossae, is that they were taking the law, a little bit of that, a little bit of paganism, throwing that in there, a little bit of Christ, and it goes on today, right? Matter of fact, each year, the world, the religious world shouldn't be doing it, but, you know, the religious world celebrate two holidays, Christmas and Easter. Do you know that came from pagan worship? Well, how did it start? Well, take me a little bit of that, make a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of Christ, and boom, there you got it. Right? So it's not like it's some type of foreign concept. It still goes on today. How many assemblies have instruments in their worship practices? Where did they get them from? Old Testament, Psalm 150. That's where they get them from. You got people worshiping on Saturday. Right? Seven-day Adventists. Right? What do? They take in the law and mix it in with Christ. So it's not like this is something that's just going on during the days of Paul. It still goes on today. That's why we have to be focused on this. Like I said when I started this study, is that my aim is to show you that yes, what was going on during that time, but it still goes on today. That's why we need to be focused on this letter, because this is the most Christ-centered letter we have probably in the Bible. Alright, so we know that Christ nailed it to the cross. He nailed the law to the cross, right? Let's go on and see what else Paul has to say in verse number 15. Do anybody have any questions or comments? Verse number 15, it says, having four principalities and powers, and made an open showing from it, show of government over them in it. So what Paul is saying here is that Jesus Christ, and he gives an illustration of a general, right? And general, and typically what happens, especially during Roman times, is that when Romans would defeat an enemy, right, they would strip them of all their weapons. And that's what Christ has done, right, to the principalities and powers. That those principalities and powers, we know, if you ever study Ephesians chapter 6, verse following, right, that is referring to Satan and his minions. Also, it can be referred to government power, right? We know that Romans, right, these powers, right, that Christ himself, right, was able to strip them, right, and he stripped them and he made an open showing of them. And what it's saying, what it's illustrating is that when that general disarms, right, those who have been captured, he marches them in through the city. And everybody is parading and celebrating, and he's making an open showing and shame of them. And that's what Christ has done, open showing of them. He's parading them around with our heads down. Is that we have the victory. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, towards the end of the chapter. Where's our state? Right? We have the victory. There's no surprises what goes on or what's going to happen. This is not a mystery novel, right? We know, we can go and see what the end is going to be. And we're going to be victorious. Why? Because our conquering King, Christ, has made an open showing of them. Right? That conquered. And he has made an open showing of them. And that all the principalities and the powers of the world, he has made an open showing of them. Now, let's go to verse number 16. He said, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of holy day or of new moon or of Sabbath day. Now he says, he says here, let no man therefore. So when he says back to the previous verses he just talked about, right? Since the law has been nailed to the cross and Christ has conquered it, there's no reason to call Moses and those things into Christianity. Don't let no man judge you. Tell you that in order to be right with God, you have to do this, right? And the first one we see is that when he talks about meats. Now, when we talk about meats, what do you think he's referring to? Anybody tell me, what do you think he's referring to?
Meat sacrificed to
idols. That's right. Also, what else is he talking about? So the meat sacrificed to idols and the dietary restrictions, right? There were dietary restrictions. We know this in Leviticus chapter 11, right? That God gave them, in the law, he gave them dietary restrictions. What were those Jews doing? Well, they were trying to bring it back into Christ. Trying to mix his drink, right? Same thing, right? Back in Leviticus, right? And Brother Phil did an excellent job talking about the different offerings, drink offerings, all these type of offerings that they had to obey. Think about that. They had to do this for 1,500 years. All of a sudden, Jesus Christ comes on the scene, dies on the cross, and now you have the Gentiles that didn't have to do what they had to do. They were mad. And the problem that they had is that they didn't understand their own Old Testament. Because if they understood what the purpose of it was, then they wouldn't have been upset. But they were jealous, right? They were like, hold up, we had to keep this law for 1,500 years, and you just gonna Gentiles just obey the gospel of Christ and they're good with God? How is that possible? So they were like, no, let's bring a little bit of that in. So that's what was going on there, right? Not only in drink, but also respect of holy day. Now, if you ever study this, you go to Leviticus chapter 23, and it talks about the different feast days that they had to. It's very famous that the day the church started, right? Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. That was a feast day. That was one of the feast days, right? So we see that these are so many different things that they had to abide by in the Old Testament that was part of the law. And what they were doing, again, is that they were trying to bring it in into we're talking about the different sacrifices they had to do. The monthly, every bloody time. brought into God's family. So they were upset about that, right? And then last it says, for Sabbath day. So if anybody have any friends that are Seventh-day Adventists, but we have told that the Sabbath day as well has been nailed to the cross. Or try to bind that on us. And that still happens today. Is that, believe it or not, sadly, you have Christ that is being bound by people that are bringing up. Me and my wife, we years ago, we went to Los Angeles. And we decided to go to a walk-in, and everything seemed fine. Next thing you know, I'm sorry, she, I didn't catch it because I'm talking to the preacher. She grabbed me and said, we need to get up out of here. You know, but the thing is, what we see is that they allow, not only happened in the fall day, but it happens in our day as well. We have to be aware, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. It's telling us that those things that were done, the law of Moses, the sacrifice, the covenant, was all a shadow. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Bible reads, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never, with those sacrifices which they were offered year by year continually, make the comers, the writer saying what the purpose of the law was. It was a shadow. Shadow, right? If I'm standing outside and if the sun is pointing, or you see the real thing, you see my shadow. And that's what it wasn't the real thing, right? You see my shadow first. Then, eventually, you'll see the real deal. And that is what all the sacrifices, things of that nature. It was just a shadow before the real image came, which was Christ. That's what Paul was talking about here in Colossians. That the body is of Christ. It's not the shadow. It's not the Old Testament. The body, the real thing, is Christ. That's what Paul was, right? Is that we should not be focused. That's not the real thing. It's just telling us that, hey, basically, you know, depending on where the sun is, it may take a while for the real thing to get there, but the real thing is coming. Brother, you want to say something?
Isn't that like when Christ says, I've come before?
That's right. No more shadows. We're going to fill up that shadow with the real. Right there, we're going to pick up in verse number 18 through 20. Father, I want to improve.